stages of faith. Throughout the Bible, our Lord commanded those who believed in him, he commended them for believing in him. His disciples at one point asked him, he said, increase our faith. That's a good request. That's a request we probably all should make to the Lord. Increase our faith. Maybe next Sunday I'll tell you ways that you can do that to help to increase your faith. But today we're going to talk about the three stages or the three levels of faith. Abraham is our example, the man whose faith he grew as he walked with God. And so we're going to look at some things in his life. First of all, we're going to talk about number one level, the level that we all come in on when we accept Christ as our Savior, little faith. Little faith. That's the level we all come in on, is little faith. Have enough faith to accept Christ as our Savior. The Holy Spirit prepares our hearts to accept him. The Holy Spirit draws and helps those who are seeking him. And if you don't know that, you'll understand that when you start witnessing, sometimes there's people that's pretty hard to witness to. That's because the Spirit of God is just beginning to do a work in their life. But the Holy Spirit helps to get their attention, helps to soften their hearts so they can receive his wonderful and precious word. So, one of the ways we can talk about little faith is there's a restlessness when we first get saved and we practice just a little faith. We're so easily influenced by what we feel emotionally, what we see, and what we hear. And the longer we walk in our Christian walk, we'll realize that there's just things that you can't always see or hear. You have to believe in the invisible things. And that's where it goes when you start with little faith. Little faith. We're burdened with many doubts. Our faith is small because the focus isn't always on the Lord. Many times there's a lack of understanding God. When we first get saved, we don't understand how God works. We don't have too much of his word that we're able to absorb or read or understand. We're just starting our Christian walk. We're just starting to know what God is like. So we don't have any knowledge of the way he works. Maybe we're not meditating on his word. We're not reading it. We're just starting to. We're just told what books of the Bible we could start to read, like the Gospels. And we're just beginning. And so our faith is considered little faith. But make no misunderstanding that a little faith is better than no faith. A little faith is much better than no faith. We have some illustrations of little faith, and I'd like to go there. If you have your Bibles, you can go there with me, and we'll read them together. Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8. We're going to see there where there was little faith. Matthew 8, 23 through 27. 23. And when he was entered into a ship, his disciples followed him. Behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with the waves. But he was asleep. You have to understand, Jesus is getting wet, but he was tired. That is a portion of scripture that lets us know about his humanity. He got tired. He slept through a storm. The waves were coming in on the boat, splashing along. He was asleep. He was tired. But all these fishermen, oh my goodness. Look at verse 25. His disciples came to him and got him away. Lord, save us, we perish. These are fishermen. But never did they experience a storm like this. Made him fearful. He said unto them, why are you fearful, O ye of little faith? Why didn't he hear from one of them that Jesus is in the boat? We don't have to worry. As long as Jesus is in the boat, if the waves sink us, he'll bring the boat back up. He didn't hear that. Who would have liked to have heard that? But he didn't hear that. These are men of little faith. meant that he was wishing he could see great faith out. Instead, he saw little faith. Did it disappoint him at times? I'm sure it did. Because I'll tell you what happened, and we're going to get there. He saw great faith in people that weren't his disciples. That's where he saw great faith. How disappointing that must have been to him. The men that closest to him, he wanted to see great faith, but he saw little faith. Why are you fearful? Oh, you have little faith. He rose, he rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. But the men marveled, saying, what manner of man is this, that even the winds and the sea obey him? Okay, Matthew chapter 6, that's Sermon on the Mount. Matthew 6, we're going to just back up a little bit. Matthew chapter 6, we have another one. Matthew chapter 6, verse 25 through 30. 25-30. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold, the fowls of the air, they sow not, neither do they reap nor gather in the barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit to your stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, and they toil not, neither do they spin. Yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Our third one, Mark chapter 9. Go there with me. Mark chapter 9. Mark chapter 9. Verse 19 through 24. Mark 9, 19 through 24. And he answered him and said, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him to me. This is the one that had the demoniac, the father that had the demoniac. They brought him unto him, and when he saw him, straightway the spirit teared him. You see what it did? It teared him. In other words, he just got, his body sort of got, his body revolted against the presence of Christ. The demons in him knew who he was. They knew who he was. And they bid him to not cast them into the depth or the deep or the bottomless pit, but to release them and let them go. They can only do their work if they're in a body, so they need to seek a body. Why do you say God permits that? Well, someday he won't. They'll be forever banned. For right now, they do according to his bidding. You see, God doesn't make anybody serve him. He gives us choices. Choices. Every creature, I'm going to say creature, I'm going to say every being, I should say. The angels all had choices. Every angel had a choice. There's not one angel that does his bidding because they're like a robot. They don't have a choice. They have a choice. They do it because they love them. We serve him because we love him. Not out of duty. Not out of because we think we should. But because we love him. Nobody's in heaven that don't want to be there. Who was I at? Verse 19. He answered them. And he said, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? And they brought him to him. When he saw him straightway, the spirit tear him. He fell on the ground and wallowed foaming. And he asked, did anybody ever see anything like that? I did. I witnessed that. I witnessed firsthand somebody foaming at the mouth. I saw where demons were extracted from people. I've been there. I've been part of that. I've seen it. It's not something you're encouraged to see. It's blood-curling screams and tongue times. It's just an awful scene. I've witnessed it. I've seen it. He asked his father, how long is it ago since this came on to him? He said, since a child, of a child. Oftentimes it casts him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, this is the father pleading with him, if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us. And there's the two words that our Lord will always, always respond to. Help us. You don't have to go to college or university to have a seminarian's prayer. You don't have to know the language to speak a prayer. You only need to know two words. Help me. That's all you need to know. And our Lord never refuses that. Help me. Never. He hears those words. Jesus said to him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway, the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying, thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him, and enter no more into him. The spirit cried and rent him sore, and came out of him. He was as one that was dead, insomuch that many said, he's dead. But Jesus took him by the hand, lifted him up, and he arose. And when he was coming to the house, his disciples asked him, why could we not cast him out? And he said, these kind come forth by nothing but by prayer and by fasting. Okay. We've talked about little faith. Now we want to talk about great faith. Great faith. We have some illustrations of great faith. Great faith doesn't happen when we first get saved. Like I said, it's what we grow into. We grow into that. Each day, we should be growing in faith. Each time God does something for us, it should make you stronger and more confident to believe God for the next struggle or the next crisis you have. It makes you stronger each time you go through a struggle. It's what it's designed to do. So let's look at great faith. Matthew chapter 8. Let's go back a little bit. Matthew chapter 8. We're going to look at an illustration of great faith. Matthew chapter 8. All beginning with verse 5 through 10. When Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion, beseeching him, saying, Lord, my servant lies at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. Jesus said to him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I'm not worthy that you should come under my roof. But speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this man, go, and he goes. And to another, come, and he comes. And to my servants, do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled, and said to them that followed, verily I say to you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in all Israel. Great faith. Great faith. This man just says, if I'll just speak it, he'll be healed. That's great faith. Wow. And I say to you, many shall come from the east and west and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. There's an example of great faith. Let's go to the next chapter, chapter 9. Don't need to go far. Chapter 9, starting around verse 20. chapter 9, verse 20. Here's another occasion. This woman was suffering from a hemorrhage. She believed that she could just touch his clothing, his garment, she'd be healed. She said, if I could just touch him. Wow. There was people everywhere that day. There was crowds, there was multitudes following him, wanting something from him. She had to push her way into the crowds, through the crowds, to make her way to him. And she barely probably just be able to grab his garment, just touch him as he passed by. And immediately, virtue flowed from his body. And behold, a woman which had a disease, an issue of blood for 12 years, came before behind him and touched the hem of his garment. She said within herself, if I may but touch his garment, I'll be whole. Jesus turned about when he saw her and said, daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. And the woman was made whole from that hour. Wow. If I could just touch him, that's great faith. You were saved by your belief. You're saved by your own belief in me. And thirdly, Matthew chapter 15. Let's go on back a little bit further. Matthew chapter 15. Matthew 15, 22. 15 and 22. Behold, a woman, a Canaanite, came out of the same coast and cried to him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. But he answered her not a word. You know why that is? She's a Gentile. What has to happen before Gentiles can receive anything? The Jews had to do what? They had to reject him. They rejected him by putting him on the cross. So you see, this lady didn't know it, but she was reaching in to the future. To the dispensation of the Gentiles, which you and I live in, church age, Gentile dispensation. She was reaching into the future. She didn't know that. She just wanted healing for her daughter. She was a Gentile. Why Jesus did not answer her. Not a word. That's the reason. Let's read on a little further. He answered her not a word. His disciples came and besought him, saying, send her away, for she cries after us. In other words, just their way of saying, she's getting to be a pest. Send her away. He answered and said, I am not sent, but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. That's the Jews. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, hey, what did I tell you about the prayer that he hears? What do you see there? Lord, what? Help me. There it is. I told you, that's the prayer you'll always hear. Never forget that. Help me. You might be going down the road and you might see something that's going on and you're going to need some help fast. That's all you need. Lord, help me. And he will.
Help me.
And he answered and said, it's not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. Canaanites were considered dogs. The children were the Jews. The Jews weren't eating so well. They rejected the bread of life. Of a truth, she said, Lord, but yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Wow. Whew. That was profound. That lady had no idea how profound that was. When the Lord heard that, he had to do something. He had to respond. And he did. Look what he did. Jesus answered and said of her, oh, woman, great is thy faith. be it unto me, even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. It was for that sake, for what she said. But the dogs eat the crumbs. I'm not asking for the whole loaf. I'm not even asking for a slice. I'm just asking for a crumb for my daughter. That's all I want. Help me. And he did. Whew. Powerful. And then we come to the third level, the third stage. Perfect faith. We can see this in the life of Abraham. What a prime example of perfect faith. The word perfect means it's complete. It's complete. At the end of our life, may we all hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Complete. Perfect faith. Tested and found to be strong. The Lord God called Abraham to sacrifice his son. By faith, he willingly obeyed. As a result, his faith was perfected and completed. Faith, perfect faith, rests in God's faithfulness. It's God's faithfulness that's perfect. Even in a time of turmoil and struggle and hardship. And so we see these three stages of faith in the life of Abraham as we come to a finish. The first stage, the first level, the Lord promised Abraham that he'd have a son through Sarah. His doubt made him laugh because he was so old. And asked that Ishmael be accepted instead in Genesis chapter 17, 15 through 18. Then we see a second level. In the 18th chapter of Genesis, the Lord said Sarah would give birth within a year. She too laughed and doubted. But when she conceived, her faith in Abraham soared as they saw the Lord fulfilling his promise. And then thirdly, by the time that God had told Abraham to offer Isaac as a sacrifice, his faith was so strong, he obeyed immediately, without question or doubt. Even though the Lord had said that Isaac would be the heir to all the promises, Abraham was confident in God's faithfulness. He believed in the Lord. In fact, he believed the Lord would raise Isaac up from the dead if necessary to keep his promise. Abraham even told his servants that he and Isaac would worship on this mountain and that they would both return. He'd already made that statement. You see how his faith had grown? This was as Abraham grew and walked with God. Our faith should also grow like that. You should be stronger in faith as you were with the first day you accepted him as your Savior. Are you stronger in faith? I hope that you are. You should be. Have you had situations happen where you can go back and say, God's been faithful. He did this for me. Can you do that? I know you can. I can. He's been faithful to me. He's been so good to me. How could I ever fail him now? He's been good to me. There's a lot of things that I can think about, past experience that God had demonstrated his faithfulness to me. And it gives me the confidence that I have today that he'll continue on in my life as well. I see how he works. He does it consistently. He's answered many prayers. He's intervened in many situations in my life. And the final thing you need to do is thank him every day for his faithfulness.